listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And joining us today in studio, Matt Safransky, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight, and on the line from Pittsfield, Larry Parnas, investigations editor for the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Adam.
This week, Democrat Stan Rosenberg of Amherst reversed course and temporarily stepped down from the presidency of the Massachusetts Senate. This comes as the Senate is planning to investigate whether Rosenberg's husband, Brian Hefner, had any influence over lawmaking at the State House. Hefner is accused of sexually assaulting and harassing four men, and on Monday, the Senate decided to make Harriet Chandler of Worcester the new president on a temporary basis. Here she is.
Somebody has got to lead the chamber, and this is acting, it's temporary, and I think that's the best we can do.
Well, Matt, did Rosenberg make the right call here to step aside from the Senate presidency?
Well, I think it was probably a necessary one, and a lot of it has to go with whether or not this investigation could actually move forward there. I mean, nothing I have ever seen of Rosenberg would suggest that he would be retaliatory, but if you've been a veteran on Beacon Hill, you can totally understand the fear of not wanting to come forward with your allegations. With the possibility of the person who's indirectly involved, we should say, getting a great deal of power at the end of it. So I think that at a bare minimum, a temporary step aside was necessary.
Larry, while Chandler will be in charge while the investigation is taking place, at least three other senators said publicly this week that they would be interested in the permanent presidency if Rosenberg doesn't come back. Does that surprise you?
Oh, not at all. You know, I've just heard the word temporary used four times in the last minute. I think that's likely to be a permanent departure for Stan, which I don't think is fair. I think he probably realizes that it's going to be hard for him to regain his seat. All these comments from the other senators saying they have so much admiration for him, it's language that sounds way too much like an obituary to me.
And for Rosenberg's part, he was quoted by State House News Service this week as saying that he just wants his name cleared, Matt. What do you think about this? Is this the end of the Stan Rosenberg reign as Senate president?
It's really hard to say. I mean, there has been some discontent within the Senate caucus, my sources have been telling me. On its own, it never would have risen to the level of dethroning him early, but this kind of gives an opportunity for some more ambitious senators to try to get a leg up. I mean, you look at somebody like one of the names that's been mentioned is Linda Forey from Dorchester. You know, she was a few years ago thought of as maybe being a mayoral candidate. Well, that's not happening with Marty Walsh there. So, you know, if you've got an interest in moving up, you know, you never let a crisis go to waste.
Meantime, the quality of this investigation is really important. This is a big test for the ethics panel. They've got to make a really thorough review here. You know, lawmakers are supposed to be models for everyone. Here's a chance for everybody to be a model. And I think Stan stepping aside was the right thing to do, even though he did it reluctantly.
A report this week from the Massachusetts auditor, Suzanne Bump, says the state's Department of Children and Families was unaware of at least 260 serious injuries of children under its care. The report looks at 2014 and 2015 before the Baker administration implemented changes at the troubled agency. And Bump says DCF could have found out about the injuries, which include a gunshot wound and rape, by looking at the state's MassHealth database.
You can tell by their very response that they haven't changed the policies, they aren't accessing this information, and we are confident that there remain injuries that they are not becoming aware of because they are not using this database.
DCF has 6 months to respond to the auditor. Larry, there's been a lot of trouble at DCF over the last few years. Should there be concern that instances like this are still going on despite the changes within the department?
I think everybody has to just accept that the auditor is doing her job here. The governor's office and DCF, they've got a point that the reforms that they began in 2015 aren't fully reflected, perhaps, in what the auditor Suzanne Bump's review found. But we're talking about children and the most vulnerable people. There was something that the auditor's office had in their 2014 audit, which found that DCF wasn't doing enough to complete and access data that could inform the quality of the care that they deliver. So that has come back in this audit as well. I think that's something that they really got to reflect on. So whether or not they were fully able to grasp the reform and show results for that. Politicians like to think that the problems, once they address them, are solved. But honestly, you have to do solid review and follow-up, and this is part of that process.
Matt?
I'm always – my antenna go up when I, hear politicians get very defensive about a situation.
For sure.
On some levels, the Baker administration has been good about not blaming Deval Patrick for everything, and in other cases, they're not. They know that in this particular circumstance, that a year of the period that this report covered was under their watch. And their tendency to, rather than just say, we need to do better, but to say, oh, this was the previous guy, it betrays a lot that's going on there. I think they're not looking forward to what the report that goes from 2016 and 2017 is going to say. Maybe it's not going to be as bad as this one, but if it's not as good as they hope, well.
In the few minutes that we have left, you'd like to focus on a couple of things that each of you gentlemen wrote about this week. Larry, the saga that is the Berkshire Museum's plans to auction off pieces of its collection is continuing in the court system. The museum wants to move things along with a trial in Berkshire Superior Court, while the state attorney general's office wants to extend an injunction issued last month blocking the sale until a state appeals court has its say. Larry, you've written a lot about this. Is there any chance it's going to be settled soon?
First of all, that's an excellent summary, Adam. You ought to be in radio. Yeah. It's not going to be settled soon. The pieces that are at Sotheby's in New York, including the two Rockwell paintings, they're in a vault down there. The museum is doing all it can with a very able legal team to move this forward. But it's hard. When you hit the appeal stage, there's a lot of time afforded, and it's a busy appellate-level group of justices. The museum and Sotheby's would really, I believe, like to get this to auction in the big spring sale, but the timing for that is going to be really tight. I think it's probably more likely that it's going to be 1 year later if this all moves forward and is cleared for sale. Would they be back before that big November auction 2018?
And Matt, you wrote this week about the decades-long plunge when it comes to Springfield voter turnout. There was no mayor's race this year, but there were some open city council seats up for grabs, and only 9.9% of the electorate came out. So what's the solution to this?
Well, I think that the only short-term solution is you just have to engage the public more. I don't think there's any moral opposition to doing it, but there has to be a way to get citizens to realize what their government means to them, what the stakes of their own elections are. And just, showing up at press releases and ribbon cuttings and, photo ops with the latest project, that creates so much distance. I mean, not to bash the media or whatever, but that's what they are. They are a medium. People want to be able to connect directly with their government. And I think as a short-term solution, getting them more involved on a daily basis is one way to do it.
All right, Matt Szafranski with Western Mass Politics and Insight and Larry Parnas with the Berkshire Eagle. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us anywhere you get your podcasts, anytime you like, or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.